Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brian, thank you very much. A parliamentary inquiry has concluded that Boris Johnson knowingly misled Parliament multiple times with his statements about parties in Downing Street during the COVID pandemic. The Privileges Committee of MPs found Mr Johnson's breaches serious enough to recommend a suspension of 90 days if he were still an MP, far exceeding the period needed to trigger a recall petition and a possible by-election. Well, I'm joined by Sonia Purnell, journalist and biographer of Boris Johnson, and Professor John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. And Sonia, you say this is a seminal moment for British democracy. Why?
Well, I think it is. I think the ball is now in the court. Two courts, actually. One, the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Is he really going to just say nothing about this, or is he going to take, you know, big action? Maybe exclude Johnson from ever becoming an MP again, from ever, you know, possibly being a member of the Conservative Party. Maybe banning his honours list. I mean, after all, these are people who are by and large not very eminent and are now, you know, we know, chosen by someone who was in contempt of not just Parliament, but in fact, in contempt of British democracy. I think it goes as far as that. So the ball is also in our court, the electorate in Britain. You know, Johnson has caused so much trouble, both to us and to you, our neighbours and friends, and many other people. It is high time that we stopped electing these clowns, that we started electing people who are serious people, who can do a serious job, and that we never fall for this kind of charlatan scoundrel figure again. So I do think it's a seminal moment in democracy. And if he is not excluded from politics, that democracy is in danger. It means that you can do anything. You can lie to the House of Commons, which is effectively lying to all of us, and get away with it. Because let's face it, just because he's been caught lying about COVID, something that goes to the very sort of soul of the nation, does suggest that he's also been lying about all sorts of other things too. So how can we trust anything that that man says?
John, to bring you in on that theme as well about where this goes from here, because there are some who are looking at this now and their focus is totally on Rishi Sunak. Do you agree that this is a moment of jeopardy for him?
Yes, it's a moment of jeopardy for both Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson. I mean, I've never read as excoriating a report as the one issued by the Privileges Committee this morning. You can go through the 100-odd pages, the 30,000 words, and look for some mitigations in defence of Boris Johnson, and they're simply not there in the report. It's unrelenting in its criticism of Johnson and arguing that he lied. I mean, the basic line that comes from the committee is, look, Boris Johnson lied, showed contempt to the House of Commons by lying, saying that he'd been advised that all these parties at 10 Downing Street were in line with the official guidance, and that no such guidance had ever been issued to Boris Johnson. So it could hardly be more damning. Rishi Sunak now, as Sonia suggests, has the option of removing him from the approved list of Conservative Party candidates. And so you'd have the extraordinary situation of a former Conservative Prime Minister who delivered a very big majority for the Conservatives of 80 seats less than 4 years ago, no longer allowed to stand as a Conservative MP, potentially in perpetuity, unless he can get reinstated to that list. That's a distinct possibility. Rishi Sunak, you know, may take that view. We'll be able to see how much support Boris Johnson has amongst Conservative MPs very soon, because there will be a debate on the Privileges Committee report and a vote probably next Monday. And Conservative MPs who are still Johnsonites, they'll vote against this report. They say they're already coming out and saying it's gone way over the top, this report. Boris Johnson only received one fixed penalty notice from the police, and in effect this report is saying that all those gatherings were illegal, which the police did not say. So that's the Johnson line of defence. Johnson has come out swinging on this, and we'll be able to see how much support Johnson has amongst MPs very soon. In terms of Johnson's support amongst Conservative voters, that, I think, will depend upon, you know, we'll be able to see that at the next election, which is only 18 months away.
Yeah, it's just interesting if you examine the motivation of the people, the MPs who are coming out in support of him. And you'd have to question, do they see him being able to make a political comeback at this stage?
Yes, there's still, but it's an ever diminishing number of Conservative MPs who see him as the man who delivers election victories, whether it be the London mayoralty twice, whether it be that handsome majority the Conservatives enjoyed in 2019. But they are a diminishing number. If you look to that vote of confidence in Boris Johnson amongst his own MPs, not that long ago, he was down to 59% support, only a bare majority amongst his own MPs. So it's been an ever diminishing group. I think Boris Johnson still believes that he can connect with the public that places voted Conservative in 2019, that had never voted Conservative previously, and probably never will again unless he's party leader. But, you know, there's plenty of other alternative survey evidence suggests that the Johnson magic, insofar it existed, has long since gone, and that basically the public has substantially turned against Boris Johnson. So, I mean, the Conservatives go into the next election with Rishi Sunak. A catastrophic Conservative election defeat might open the door again for Boris Johnson, but it would have to be a feat of escapology from this position that we have never previously seen in British politics.
Sonia, let's talk a little bit about his response to this. He called the report deranged. He said it was tripe and lies. You'll hardly be surprised at those words, because when you published your book about Boris Johnson, he pointed his ire at you too, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did. I mean, I was very, very careful in my book. I triple, quadruple checked every single fact. So he couldn't, I mean, just much like the committee has done, I'm sure, he couldn't go for the book. So what he did, what he always does is go, you know, he didn't play the ball, he played the man in football, whatever the expression is. And so, you know, his people started spreading these rumours, which came back to me constantly, that we'd had an affair and that I'd written the book because he wouldn't marry me. And you know, there were all sorts of things. I mean, all of which is rubbish, by the way. I'm happily married, was then, now. So, you know, he was trying to sort of test my marriage, my sanity, my health, my career. I mean, he really tried to destroy me altogether. Well, I'm still standing, but, you know, there we are. It took its toll, and that is what he does. He always lashes out because he knows he's been caught here. There's nothing that he can do to deny any of these things. You know, he has no, he had every chance conceivable. He spent nearly £250,000 of taxpayers' money on legal defence when giving evidence to this committee. He's had every single chance. So, of course, he did what he always does, which is kind of try and undermine his critics, throw slanders and smears at them. It's such an old and tiresome tactic, and it's one that he's used always through his life. Mm-hmm.
And it's worked in the past.
Well, it often worked, you know, until very recently. People still came up to me and said, oh, well, of course, you had an affair with him. And, you know, it just makes you despair. I just don't know. I could never really quite understand what hold it was that he had over people, that they believed in him. But I do feel that that has changed now. And, you know, as we were just hearing, you know, I think that even people, he said, oh, yeah, and I'd always vote Boris, he's such a laugh. You don't hear that very much anymore. I do think people have seen through him. Because, look, if you look at, you know, the state of the nation, you know, none of our public services are working. The economy is terrible. You know, our beaches are polluted and rivers polluted and things. It's not as if he left the country in a good state. He didn't. So there was really nothing good in his kind of record at all.
Just listening to you, I mean, this is really personal for you. And you must feel, after all this time, vindicated in some way.
Well, I wish I'd been proved wrong, actually. You know, for the last 12 years, I've devoted a lot of time trying to kind of warn people about this man. I saw what a, you know, a charlatan he was, a liar that he was. It took a lot of energy, sure. So in a way, it's personal, but I don't want it to be personal. For me, it was all about kind of, you know, trying to warn people in the nation at large. It wasn't about me. And as I say, I'm okay. My marriage is intact. I found another way to earn a living. I survived. Some people don't. I mean, he does tend to destroy a lot of people who come in close contact with him. I mean, the reason that I knew what he was like, by the way, is that I was his deputy in the 1990s. We were both reporting in Brussels on the EU for the Telegraph in an office of two. So I got to know him pretty well then. And what I saw back then frightened me. And so when he started acquiring political power, I thought it was my duty, because who else was going to do it, to try and sound the alarm. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to sound it loud enough. But I do feel like finally today, and, you know, we've just heard that this report is one of the most excoriating that any of us can remember. And so often regulators and so on in Britain have kind of, you know, blinked at the last moment and haven't come out with tough reports. This one is tough. And oh, my goodness, thank goodness for that. I really fear what would have happened if if a report hadn't come out like this. So I do breathe a sigh of relief. I do feel in a way that maybe I can get on with the rest of my life. I just hope there isn't a route back to him, because my goodness me, we untravel if there is.
Mm-hmm. John, to come back to the implications of this, and I see now that MPs will debate the findings of that report on Monday in the House of Commons. This is going to be another crucial part of this jigsaw, as you've already touched on. We'll have Rishi Sunak's reaction and response. Then we'll have what happens in the Conservative Party as a result of this. And do you think that it will deepen the civil war, or will in the main, as time passes, this be accepted and the party will move on from Boris Johnson?
It's certainly a civil war at present, and we'll be able to see the numbers in that civil war on Monday, because those supporters of Boris Johnson will certainly vote against this report, whereas I suspect the bulk of the Conservative Party will vote in favour of it, and that will include, no doubt, Rishi Sunak, because I think he will accept the legitimacy of the Privileges Committee. I mean, the point that is made by defenders of the Privileges Committee is, look, it does have a Conservative majority of MPs on it. There are four Conservative MPs, two Labour, one SNP. Boris Johnson's argument was, well, it's chaired by Harriet Harman, who basically issued tweets or retweeted stuff that was unfavourable to Johnson, and therefore she was in no position to have chaired that committee. But so we'll be able to at least calculate the numbers on Monday. Johnson's support is diminishing within the party, and I think he may find himself embarrassed on Monday that his support might be down to a rump of 50 to 60 Conservative members of Parliament. Of course, Johnson will argue, he will continue to argue, look, his big support is amongst voters, that he's the person who delivered the Conservatives that big election majority in 2019. And, you know, he's the person who connects to the base. I think Rishi Sunak's got to take a decision as to whether Boris Johnson can remain in the Conservative Party, because what would happen if he turned up and demanded a speaking gig at the Conservative Party conference? They're going to have to screen him out of that, because, you know, he is the darling of a section of the Conservative Party. So he is a problem that might not be removed that easily.
John and Sonia, thank you both very much indeed. One thing that is for certain, Boris Johnson won't be there in the House of Commons on Monday when this is discussed. He's not an MP anymore, but he also isn't allowed into the building because the report has decided or recommended that his pass be removed and he's not allowed on the campus anymore. Extraordinary times. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.